Let's go to Psalm 122. We made two of them yesterday. That was really good.
Yeah. And our other folks moved out in the back room with it.
Yeah. It's vital for us to always remember that the journey of Israel is a parable, a spiritual parable for something that always takes place. It's not negotiable, it's not optional. Every man is born in the world. Egypt is an eternal type of the world. We try to get to the land of Goshen, the Delta area, which is the best of that land, of Egypt. But they kept trying and trying and trying. And then the plagues come. And so even the ones that made it to the land of Goshen, and the ones that didn't make it, they're all equally affected by the plagues, because by definition, Israel had adopted the gods of Egypt, and that's why the plagues came. They didn't come to punish Pharaoh. You cross the Red Sea in baptism, or the Dead Sea, or whatever sea it is. Some sea you cross in your baptism. As long as you were in the world, God was dealing with you as an individual. But once you cross into the wilderness, then He doesn't deal with you as individuals anymore. He deals with a people. You wander around for a while and then you get the law. So the law just makes it more impossible to ever reach the promised land. So you still wander in the wilderness until finally you have died in the wilderness. And then that which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, moves unto the promise and into the temple and onto the mercy seat. But that journey isn't optional. No matter where you're born in the world, no matter what time you're born in the world, that process happens to everybody. So the Psalms of Ascent are written from that standpoint, that wherever you are in the world, that you've gone, because you're in the world but not of it, then you start the journey from the world to the New Jerusalem. And in fact, every single time that you forget, or something goes wrong, or you get depressed, or you should read the Psalms of Ascent, to take you back up to the New Jerusalem. But there, as long as you believe that there are options in the Scriptures, then you will never see eternity, because in order to have options, by definition, you have to have the passage of time. What?
I was thinking it's a journey, because flesh wants to hunker down and find a spot and plant itself and get its opinions established, be fenced in. But spiritually, you move around, you move on, you touch new places that you see.
Right, because of rebellion.
Yeah, that's built in.
All right, Psalm 122, we made it through a whole two psalms yesterday. So finally, you're able to sing this one. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, the house of the Lord isn't this little dining facility or your Bible study or your church on the corner. There's only one house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Until finally you understand that wherever your foot touches, you're in New Jerusalem, you're on the mercy seat, because it is your overriding reality. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It isn't this comic book crap that, well, we're praying for that piece of land over in the Middle East. It's pray that you would experience always the peace that is always resident in Jerusalem. Pray for the peace that belongs or that is of Jerusalem, the peace that doesn't vary, that doesn't change, no matter what your conditions. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper that love thee. The word prosper means to have a completed journey. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say peace within thee. Now notice B is not there, it's just peace. It's a declaration. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Okay? Unto thee, in verse Psalm 23, unto thee alone lift I up mine eyes. O thou that dwellest in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress. Our eyes wait only upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Until you begin this process of every time you feel and find out that you are the subject of your sentence, that fills you with contempt. I mean, abandonment isn't the rare thing, it's the unrare thing. It's the common thing. So that only when you have you as the subject of your sentence, when you've resurrected the evil one, then you're filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with contempt, with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. Who's trying to be at ease, and who is the proud? You're trying to be at ease by changing your situations, or the people that you are around. And you are convinced that if only I could get rid of that one person, then I would be at ease. If only I could sell my husband or sell my wife, then I would be at ease. No. Okay, 124. We're zipping right through here. Now, again, the journey isn't smooth, and the journey is up and down and up and down and up and down, because you keep finding secret places of your own rebellion. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, and don't break out into singing, Ronnie. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, when they had swallowed us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul, Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The idea of a bird escaping from the snare is a very powerful metaphor, especially in the Middle East. You know, the griffin that has that body of a lion and the wings, or the characters and the Egyptian hieroglyphics with the body of a man and the head of a bird. All of that mystery to do with the bird is symbolic of this spirit being held back by the flesh or the body. And so you must, or he must, escape from the snare of the fowler, and you are the fowler. You are he who is trying to keep him covered and trapped and in a dungeon deep within you. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed or cannot be shaken or cannot be changed. Nothing about it ever changes. As the mountains, but abideth forever. And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked one shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, but the righteous put forth their hands, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their heart. And as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the rest of the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. All right?
Can you wait just a moment? Sitting here in fear.
When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like unto them that dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap to enjoy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. And that's mind-blowing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep or guard the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Then they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, I promise you, God's not talking about more little hunks of protoplasm. He's talking about spiritual children. And the idea that eventually, remember all of the debates took place at the gate? And the children shall be taught of the Lord so that they will debate the enemies in the gate, which is the highest compliment that you can give. And blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. The Lord shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Anybody understand a little bit?
You know, that has to be obvious. That's not that piece of land, because they've never seen it.
Oh, I mean, there's... there's so many that are like that. It's a, you know, the best one is repeated several places. It says, if God doesn't have his king on the throne of Israel, then the moon shall stop giving its light, the stars shall fall from heaven. So it's not that. It's everything. Everything in this book. I mean, that would make it optional. And this wouldn't, and the peace wouldn't be in Jerusalem forever, because it would depend on some.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's this constant twisting, trying to conform this to your flesh and the world to the scriptures. It's all talking to.
Many a time, at 129, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back and made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded. They turn back. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth before it groweth up. Wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait only for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord. More than they that watch for the morning, I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now, this watchman on the wall, his role is critical for a jillion reasons. to keep the law, you had to start the sacrifices at a particular time. The watchman waiting for the morning, or waiting for to see the three stars, or waiting, because you couldn't keep the law unless the watchmen were watching. And so, and he's saying here, my soul waiteth and looketh only to thee more than they that watch for the morning. So, I hope that's true with you. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother's. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Do you all know the difference between the milk of the word and the meat of the word? In 1 Corinthians it talks about if you are still with the milk of the world, you are yet carnal. Carnal means of the flesh. The meat of the word is where you no longer need the word processed through somebody else. That's what the mother's milk is. And so the meat of the word is when you see and it's processed in you. It doesn't go, and we think that means that it's a growth process. But in spirit, it's the opposite. It's an unlearning process. So the emptier you are, the more the meat of the word is what you consume. Kavish.
First-hand experience with God. So it's like eating the flesh of Christ.
That's right. You see that. Again, it has to do with everything we've talked about for so many years, that your sustenance and satisfaction is not dependent on anything you do or anything your kids do, or because your sustenance and satisfaction comes from the meat of the word. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. No, this is what I use that scripture all the time, because if you don't know the habitation is you, then everything else you do is trying to gain something, because that's what you're hardwired for. But when it finally dawns on you that you are the habitation for the Holy One of Israel, that he has chosen to tabernacle in you, and it just makes your all your opinions and your thoughts and everything else just meaningless. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let the priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, and he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. It's pretty awesome. We're going to finish. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like that precious ointment upon thy head, the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Okay, now the final one. Now we're in the temple. See, we, from all this, we've gone up, 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 until we're in the temple. Blessed be the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Now that's the first time we can say, bless the Lord. Because we are in the place of blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And the one thing that you must know is that you have the authority as a believer to continually command your soul to be at rest. Now, if it can't be at rest because it's got things to do, places to go, then you've got to go quickly do them and find out. You've got to find out experientially that they're empty and vain. So that your soul listens. Bless the Lord. I command my soul to be at rest. Amen. Twelve Psalms.
I saw something I never emotionally connected with before in the anointing of Aaron, like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. It's like when we anoint, little dab on the forehead, and that's it. You know, it doesn't have the impact of oil being poured out and being totally absorbed and consumed.
Don't tell me you're going to start pouring oil on everybody.
I'll pour it on your head, actually. But that picture, you can imagine the impact of someone who sees that compared to a little dab.
Right, but the Aaron and the oil are just a picture of Christ as your garment.
Yeah. But if somebody pours it on you, you get the feeling. The dab, you don't quite catch.
Okay, well, we will make it a plan then to pour a bottle of oil on Gary.
Gary.
That'd be all right.
Maybe you would.
Anybody else?
To me, something that comes through loud and clear is that in this world, in this life, in this passage of time, it really doesn't matter what's going on. God is in control. God knows what he's doing. His will is being done. And just along for the ride.
Every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because there's nothing that can be done. You got to see that if the world was made by him and for him, by him all things consist. So by definition, nothing can exist that's outside of that. So when you see it's finished, you see you've been perfected by one offering, you see all these mysteries, that you, it's impossible to have a need. Then you see the non-optionality of this mystery. It just describes a whole series of what ares or what ises. In every possible situation you can be in. And your mind hates it. Always will. Because your mind's function is self-realization. That's what it does. And you'll always try to figure out ways to wrangle it, corral it, to be of use to you. And then you will use it as weapons against those that you have something against. Remember, no word that you speak can give life to anyone else unless it produces death in you. That's a biggie.
That's also like the afterman. Your blood, your body, sacrifice.
All righty, is everything ready for Tabernacles?
Ready to be ready.
How are we going to do tonight? Are we going to? Where are we?
We're going to throw the Ethrogs in your door.
In your office.
Yeah.
No, I mean, are we going to do the Psalms of Ascent tonight? There's no mosquitoes.
Oh, yes, there are.
All righty. I'm not going to worry about it. Take a big guy.